Colleagues, the call to order the House Rules, Elections, and Public Affairs Committee. We have a fairly full agenda. Since the agenda has been published, the Speaker has scheduled a floor session for this afternoon to go from 4 till 7. So we have 20 minutes to conduct some work for today. And it's my intention to bring up Senate Bill 558 for public hearing first and see how far we can get with that. And then after the floor session at 7 o'clock, we will we can get a quorum of members here. We'll reconvene at that time. So with that, I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 558. Yes, Steph, will you please?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, SB 558 increases rural interstate highway speed limits to maximum 75 miles per hour for cars and 65 miles an hour for trucks. Repeals federal maximum speed limits. Authorizes Oregon Department of Transportation to increase or decrease state highway speed limits of the department after engineering and traffic investigation determines the proposed speed limit is reasonable and safe.
Senator Miller, you and I are co-chief sponsors on this bill. I appreciate your indulgence letting me sign on and being a sponsor on this bill with you. Thank you for your work on it in the Senate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I appreciate this hearing. I apologize to the Representative Edwards who has signed on to every other bill I think has introduced.
You left me out.
He can still vote for this one. Mr. Chairman and members, this bill is here before you today simply as a reflection of the safe behavior of our citizens on the highways. And I believe it is time that we conformed our laws to that practice. Those of you who might have the opportunity to commute either daily or regularly between this capital and Salem, or perhaps to areas south of here, will recognize that the 65 miles per hour limit is not observed by our citizens. Our own statistics indicate that 85% of our drivers are exceeding the posted limit, and the average speed between Portland and Salem is now 71.5. The good news is that this safe and reasonable behavior of our citizens has not caused an increase in fatalities. And one of the most pathetic things that happens during the discussion of this change has been the manufactured statistics trying to suggest that increasing speed limits is going to cause havoc and additional fatalities on the freeway. Hasn't been the case in Oregon since the average speed without, fortunately or unfortunately, of course, an increase in the posted limits. Fatalities have not increased, and they have not, importantly, increased. Other states, almost every state west of the Mississippi, has increased their speed limit without any adverse consequences. And there are some real experts here, particularly Mr. Langlock, who is here today, who has studied a more statistical analysis than I've ever had time or desire to, but who can, I'm sure, answer very well any questions you might have about that. Those phony charges. I must say, too, before I proceed further, I'm in receipt of a letter from the governor today, and I'm really saddened by the fact that the governor does not want to recognize the safe behavior of our citizens and allow them to be legal. And that's what this is all about. You know, if anybody here, in fact, if we had this debate in the Senate and 22 senators voted for this bill, I simply ask them to reflect on their own behavior and then just vote that way. Unfortunately, based on the percentage of behavior of Oregonians, we fell too short of that particular response, because we only got 22 instead of 24. But I would ask the House to do the same thing. Just be honest with yourself. Just be honest with the citizens of Oregon. Don't post laws that people disregard, disrespect, disobey, and then expect them to select other laws in those 15 volumes over there that they think are appropriate. Do not continue to maintain on the books laws that people, for good reason, disrespect and disobey. It's a simple proposition that this bill would allow, as it is currently written, Mr. Chairman, the speed to go up to 75. Unlike it has been widely reported, unlike it has been widely distorted, it doesn't require any posting anywhere of 75. And importantly, for those people who love to write me letters, it doesn't require that anybody drive 75. So they don't have to go that fast if they're uncomfortable doing it. What it does is it would authorize the Department of Transportation to assess the situation on our state highways, determine where a posting above today's current limit of 65, where it would be appropriate to post 70, post 75, or to continue an analysis of highways and do what they are doing in some cases, post speeds lower than used to be the one-size-fits-all limit. For example, the Terwilliger curve. I supported and applaud, frankly, the reduction down to 50 in those curves because it was quite dangerous, and we'd have a truck going over about every other day, it seemed like. And it was wise policy. So we ought to have the same wise policy to increase speeds where it is justified. Now, I'm old enough, unfortunately, to remember commuting quite frequently to the University of Oregon from my home near the Beaverton area after graduation from high school. And some of you may or may not recall, or maybe recall reading, that the posted speed limit back when I was a kid, like Representative Starr is, was 70, just 30 years ago. And on stretches east of the mountains, it was 75. The freeways were built for that kind of speed. In those days, the cars weren't nearly what they are today. They didn't have the good tires, the better braking system, the seat belts, the airbags, all of those kinds of things that have enhanced safety, as well as the good anti-drunk driving legislation that has also helped curb accidents. I applaud all those things and support it. So I don't come here as just somebody who's all fired up to try to endanger citizens. If this bill did that, I wouldn't support it. But I can tell you, Mr. Chairman, again, it simply is a reflection of the safe behavior of our citizens. It would give the authority to ODOT to establish the safe speed. For those who oppose this bill, I guess they state, like some do, they have no confidence in the Department of Transportation to assess what is a reasonable and safe speed on portions of this state's highway. So I hope this bill applies not just to I-5 and I-84, but also, I think importantly, there are highways, and just ask yourself, where it ought to be more than 55. And let's assess some of those stretches. I don't know how many of you have driven recently between on Highway 26 between Government Camp and Madras. Tell me, is 55 the maximum reasonable speed limit? I don't think so. And a huge majority of Oregon drivers don't think so. And they are rightly offended if apprehended. And that should not happen. It breeds disrespect for our law. So I appreciate your time, Mr. Chairman. I'd be glad, and I appreciate your code sponsorship and your interest, because coming from where you do, you understand reality.
Absolutely. My commute is 340 miles each way. Governor Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Miller, do you know how many other states have raised their speed limit from 65?
Okay, let me ask you.
Okay.
37 or 38. One, I believe, has made a slight retreat, and that was Montana, from unlimited to 75.
Yeah.
With a minor, and apparently 75 is treated as a rather minor violation.
And just thought maybe that we ask, I should ask this to somebody else about how many states.
Who knows?
75. Yes. 75.
11.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I do.
who doesn't have some refinance.
Thank you.
My pleasure, President.
Representative Beck.
Thank you, Chair. By comment, I'm having a speed of ticket in the famous Elgin speed trap. I've learned to be very careful between Embler and Minum Summit, or actually
Elgin Beck. It's a great source of revenue.
Yeah, I know. Senator Miller, you know, Montana, it seems to me they had kind of an unusual thing as well, where they had sort of a night restriction. Have you thought of letting Oregon do a lower limit at night on some of these roads? That's one question I have. Have you considered that? Maybe it could go down to 65 at night times or anything?
No, I say, Mr. Chairman and Representative Beck, the discussion I hope you all will have is whether or not we ought to continue to have some limit, continue that concept, or whether or not we return to just a straight basic rule, which would accomplish that objective in my view. Now, I know that law enforcement would rather have a more definitive pinch, but frankly, I'm in favor of allowing people to conduct their travel reasonably, and when they don't, then they pay the consequence. But I would almost be additionally willing to yield again the judgment to the real experts in traffic safety, which would be over at ODOT, with consultation from local jurisdictions, from people who suggest they're expert in ways of safety, from engineers and so forth, because that's, I continue to think that just posting 65 and having it routinely ignored does not serve us well.
Mr. Chair, follow up.
Okay.
My recollection of when we lowered the speed limits back in the mid-70s was primarily a conservation reason. Is that,
yeah,
is that my recollection?
That is correct. Then when the oil embargo was lifted and the price of gas was reduced, the highway safety lobby went to work in Washington, D.C., and like so many bureaucracies, they have a hard time letting go of all of their pamphlets of 55 saved lives and everything, and they continue to distribute that information even though the facts don't support it.
So I can follow up. Is there, do you see any value to pursuing a continuing conservation, having conservation be part of the reason we have lower speed? I know we have better gas mileage and we've accomplished conservation in other means, but
Mr. Chair, Representative Beck, if you want me to say on four and conservation. Yes. And as you know, the chair is greatly interested in conservation. But I can tell you that many automobiles today are far more fuel efficient. And in fact, they are fuel efficient at the higher speeds. And so sometimes if you cause people just to get jammed up going 55 or 65, you're actually burning more fuel than you are if you let traffic flow. And I would say another thing, too, that, again, based on your own experiences, think about this. This highway safety question. When you come down here on a fairly regular basis, how many people are doing things like passing to the right when somebody feels very tight as they go 65 in that far left lane? You know, it's just, it creates an understandably impatient motorist who, in every other state, or so it seems, can go from one place to another in a reasonable time at a reasonable rate of speed. This is probably the only form of communication or transportation that has, in the last 30 years, slowed down. And Oregon being the remaining holdout here to not allow people to get into the next century before they leave the last.
Representative Merrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Miller, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
In light of Governor Kitzhaber's May 6th letter to this committee, and in light of the proposal that we have to increase state police patrols, which will be incremental and which will likely come into effect towards the end of this biennium, would it be worthwhile for us to consider referring to the voters for the general election in the year 2000 the proposition that the speed limits be increased and modernized, knowing that by the time it passed, and if it had an implementation date, say, of April 1,
2001. By then, we'd also have 100 additional state troopers on the highway so that there'd be better enforcement, and then whatever the new limits are will be enforceable, thereby improving safety.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mannix, I have no doubt that the people of Oregon would support this idea, and so I would welcome that if the governor continues to misunderstand the bill and not understand the actual results of increasing speed. Because his letter here is based on faulty assumptions that the bill raises speeds, which it does not. It's also based on the assumption that increasing the speeds would compromise safety, which it does not. So perhaps if he had time to actually read the bill and understand the consequences, he might have a different view.
Mr. Chairman,
certainly, Matt.
Should we jump to the conclusion that the governor might revisit his reasoning on this? Or
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mannix, that is not in my experience.
Mr. Mannix, we also discussed the possibility of maybe attaching this to the funding for the additional 100 cases.
Oh, that hurts, Mr. Chairman. Your public safety subcommittee with Ways and Means would be very unhappy about that.
Well, you have
to work very hard at that point.
Mr. Chairman, yes. Representative Devlin wanted to ask, okay. And then we'll go over here to think well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Miller, we agree on a lot of things, but probably not on this one. You indicated in your testimony that there's clear evidence that people are not obeying the 65-mile-per-hour limit in relatively large numbers. I think later in the testimony that we might receive on this bill, probably not before our session, you'll hear from the state police that that's probably the case. But you'll also probably hear that once people understand that they're not going to be ticketed till about 75 miles per hour, they will probably start exceeding 75 miles per hour to a certain level at which normally officers out there could probably write tickets all day right now at above 65. So they'll get into a situation where they'll be selecting again who they'll write tickets to, and there'll be a little bit of a leeway. There will probably be maybe 3 miles, 6 mile leeway. So you'll have people that are now traveling at maybe 71 miles an hour or 70 miles an hour now traveling at 81 or 82 miles per hour. Those sort of basic laws of physics indicate that crashes at those higher speeds will result in more fatalities and more serious injuries.
Mr. Chairman, Vice Chairman, I will grant you that bodies in motion are more likely to damage themselves when they come into contact than those that are stationary. However, the experience of the other states that have lifted their limits has been that people have achieved a safe and reasonable level of travel, not necessarily going routinely 5 or 10 miles over a posted limit. People are smarter than apparently the folks who have set our speeds give them credit for. They aren't just out there hoping that we'll create the Autobahn, and this legislation does not do that. And I also support a reasonable level of enforcement, because I'm not just trying to say, look, we want to post 70 so you can drive 75, unless this committee determines it's a basic rule, which served this state well for many years, that the exclusive way to govern traffic speed is returned to. Again, it's allowing us to have confidence in our citizens who have demonstrated the capacity to drive safely on our freeways now, but unfortunately, that safe behavior every day by 85% figures violates our posted limits and makes a mockery of our law.
Mr. Chairman, final question. That's a broad question. Senator Miller, you and I have both been in governmental positions for a fairly long time. We both know when you get to any issue like this that there are people that have done, consultants and others that have done studies that will have contradictory information. Don't you believe that people can reasonably disagree on this, on whether it poses a threat to the public? In terms of, I think we'll hear studies being presented that will say that this will increase fatalities and increase the severity of injuries, and I'm sure we'll hear from other people that will say there's evidence that it will not.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Vice Chairman, let me tell you, I am absolutely convinced, as you are from your experience in this process, that people can bring you a statistical analysis to achieve any conclusion. And that'll be the case today. The only thing that doesn't go for the folks who are bringing the analysis suggesting that fatalities would be increased is they just don't have the facts, but they've got figures.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Miller and I will respectfully disagree.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Representative Welch.
Mr. Chair, Senator Miller, two things that I think are problems on our, especially on our interstate, having to drive an hour and a half now back and forth. Don't do it, fortunately, every day, but it's a real challenge out there to keep traffic moving smoothly. And the greatest challenge is those who like to park in the left lane doing less than 65 or doing 65 when it appropriately so. Those who want to go faster take the risk of being apprehended and fined. That if we raise the speed, I'm not sure that goes away and it's any better improves the situation. In my mind, that is an ongoing problem. And the other one is the differential between trucks and cars, the 10 miles an hour there. I've always felt that in a lot of respects that it's a safer situation and smoother traffic flow if they're much closer in speed, if not identical speed. Any ideas?
Chairman and Representative Wells, on the second point with respect to the trucks, you also hear testimony on that. I agree that sometimes the discrepancy in speeds creates a dangerous situation. That is something if you felt compelled to leave that up to, again, the ODOT, the traffic safety folks. I know we had the testimony on the Senate side from trucking associations who wanted to leave it at the current speed, and some individual drivers and others who believe, as you suggested, perhaps it would be appropriate to go the same speed. With respect to the impatient drivers, justifiably impatient today, waiting behind someone who's simply going at 65, by raising the speed to 70, I think more people would probably get the message and go to the right lanes. Those that did not, there is a statute that allows people to be pulled over for impeding the flow of traffic. Right now, even though they are going the posted limit, and it's got to be a nightmare for an officer to pull somebody over going 65 and saying, hey, you're holding up 85% of our drivers. How do they want to do that?
Good thing, Edward.
Come back to me, Senator Miller. Thank you. Two questions. One, why 75 and not 70? And then secondly, to go to Representative Devlin's concern about the rate speed limit, you're just going to, everybody else now, their behavior will disrupt commensurately. In one way, maybe to address that in Section 4 of the bill about the speed infractions, and I see you've got 10 miles an hour, you just bump them up, and maybe you could adjust those in such a way that, so for example, if you're going in this first situation, a person exceeding 75 but not instead of 85 but 80, we do it in 5 mile an hour increments. There's more pain the higher up. It seems to me if somebody's going 95, that's extremely excessive. Somebody going over 85, which is the maximum penalty, plus a traffic infraction, that would maybe send the right message out there that we don't want you to ramp up much more than 75. And it becomes more costly when you do 95, which is extremely high. My car, I don't think you can go 95, Mr. Chair. But I know a vehicle called the Stretch, is that right?
Yeah.
I could easily do that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Edwards, before you continue. let me say that the reason that the 75 mile per hour number is selected is that 2 years ago, when we had this legislation in, we had some hearings over the Department of Transportation. And they had some mapping on their walls that demonstrated, I think they were, in fact, during times I have interviewed for Senate confirmation, people who are on the commission, transportation commission, they have agreed that our highways should accommodate at least 70 miles per hour, and indeed there are some stretches on the east side of the mountains that 75 is absolutely reasonable. So again, the 75 figure is not a required posting anywhere. It is simply an upper limitation And I frankly would give them even more freedom than that and just invest confidence in their assessment. But I think in reality, if this bill passed, you would see probably an I-5, I-84, most of the places, 70, and be a real slow move to 75, and I think in very limited places.
And the penalty piece, has anybody ever talked about the penalty piece?
No, I think that makes sense. The more you are exceeding the reasonable and safe speed, the greater the penalty. However, I would hope that, you know, that's another reason why the limit ought to reflect reality. Because there will be, again, places where there's just nothing else on the highway, and if you're going 10 over or 15 over, it's a different situation than if you're doing it on the I-5 when we're commuting in the morning.
I believe you are going to come in, Senator Miller. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Appreciate you coming.
All right.